Blog Talk Radio.
Let there be light in my life. Let there be roads to eternity. Let me cast aside the darkness that's surrounding me. Let me roam free like the spirit I was meant to be. Let there be light in my life, and let me know eternal peace. Let the waves upon this ocean sweep me off my feet, and let my heart fill with silence of the open sea. Dark thoughts, goodbye. Hello, clear blue sky. Never ending, reaching far beyond my dreams. Sun dances on my skin, and I'm in between. Light in my life, let there be roads to eternity. Let me cast aside the darkness that's surrounding me. Let me roam free like the spirit I was meant to.
Today with you all out there. I see the phone lines are already lit up, and there are several people in the chat room. So I'd like to welcome you all. Hi to you guys all in the chat room. If you're not in the chat room, I encourage you to join in because we have a great chat community that's really super supportive and can be a lot of fun. So what's happening today? Well, astrologically, and this isn't just for today, this is particularly for this week up through next week, and also, through the rest of the year, really, there's so much happening with ourselves and our personal shifts and transitions. So some things to think about now is Pluto is in Capricorn, and this began a journey back in 2008, and it's going to be there through 2004. And Capricorn is forcing us to push down our emotions just to get the job done. And that can be around work, it can be around household, any sort of thing like that. The important thing to keep in mind and remember is anything that you suppress becomes distorted. And we are all now in the midst of transforming what we believe gives us security. And, you know, Capricorn is the hard worker. Capricorn will climb the mountain and, you know, not let anything get in the way. It'll just put its head down and keep on going. So what the key to all of this is to really begin to go deep within and start to ask yourself the questions like, what is it that helps me to feel safe and secure? And most people, you know, say money, a good job, financial security is always at the top. And the way that we do business is becoming old news, and we are transforming the way that we do business overall. And Pandora's box is about to be opened. We are just finishing a cycle that is wrapping up old desires that started a couple of years ago, and we're moving into a new place. So say, for example, a couple of years ago, you felt like you had to really increase your net worth, and you've been out there putting your head down and working hard and doing what you had to do, and in the meantime, you've been miserable. You know, you've been miserable within yourself. You've been miserable to your family. And you find that it just doesn't seem to be working. And that reason is because we are all called to really figure out what security really means for us. And we often put one face out to the public and even to the closest people around us. And what we really feel inside stays hidden within. It's time to really bring that out and bring those two people together into harmony and show who you really are on a deep, deep level. And depending where you are in your evolutionary stage of transformation, will depend on how you deal with this. If, for example, say you're still in the stage where you are forging ahead and you're, you know, putting money into that 401k, and please don't get me wrong, you know, saving for the future is a fantastic thing. The key is, in whatever you're doing, is it harmonious with your core truth? Who you are and what you have come to accomplish in this lifetime. What is your soul purpose? Very often a question that people have never thought to ask themselves, or no one has ever said to you, perhaps, what is your soul purpose? What is it that you have come here to really learn, to really do, to really accomplish? And that can change. And for me recently, I have really been going into the depths of remembering what my soul purpose is and why I came here, because life gets in the way. You know, we have to go out and make money to pay the bills, to keep a roof over our heads, to keep food in the fridge, all of that. And, you know, that is the way of life and survival. You know, we're, almost none of us are just handed the silver platter where we can you know, all our needs are met and everything is provided for us, we have to somehow acquire those things to meet our needs. That being said, your core purpose and what you really came here to accomplish will give you a clue into how you get those needs met. And I'm still working on this myself, because life is a continuous work in progress. I don't believe you ever arrive. And at one time, I did think that. It's funny, many, many years ago, after I was separated at the time I was getting divorced, I had gone through this really discovery process about myself, which I had never undertaken before. And I remember getting to a point where I felt, oh, my life is finally good. You know, I've done all this work. It's been amazing. And then all of a sudden, and at that point when I was at that plateau, I had been divorced a few years. And then all of a sudden, life slammed me in the face. And I said, oh my God, why are these issues coming back up? I've already worked on these. I've dealt with them. You know, I'm past these issues in my life. And the fact is, and I wasn't aware of that then. I didn't realize it. When something comes back up at a later time in your life, it is not exactly the same, though it may appear to be that way. And the reason for that is because you are not the same. We change minute to minute, hour to hour, day by day, and year to year. And 3 years from after I got divorced, I certainly was not the same person when I was married or going through the divorce. And so when these issues creeped back in again, I was banging my head against the wall going, oh my God, why am I dealing with this stuff again? And the fact is, life is not a linear plane. Life is a spiral. So as we move up the spiral, we're in a different spot in evolution in our inner self and in our outward self as well. So though those issues appeared to be the same, I was on a different place in my evolutionary transformation. And so I looked at them with a different perspective and handled them in a different way. And now those issues no longer come up for me. Of course, I have stuff like everybody else. This week is moving week for me, so I've been a little hectic. I thought I did so well transferring all my stuff. I had my internet all set up. It would be hooked up the day before I moved in, and the phone and everything, and none of it's working. So I'm broadcasting from a friend's house because I have no connection at my new place. And, you know, you'd think Mercury is in retrograde, but anyway, it's not. So apparently, according to the internet people, there's a problem with the line inside the house, and that's why I don't have a connection. So they have to send a service technician out and all that. Now, I could have been totally freaked out because I have not had an internet signal in 4 days, 5 days now, 4 days, yeah, and I can't get my emails, I can't, you know, get on Facebook, none of my social media, and so it is a little frustrating because I know there are some of you out there who have been trying to reach me, so I hope if you're listening, you now know why I haven't responded. So the best thing right now, is to don't send me an email because first of all, I get so many emails that I often miss emails because I get hundreds and hundreds literally a day, and to comb through all of them is impossible to really, you know, look at every single one of them. So if you are friends with me on Facebook, or if you like my public page, send me a message on Facebook. You know, though I don't currently have service at my house, you know, when I go any place that has public access or I'm at a friend's house, then I can access it. So if my response is delayed, that is why. All right. So what is coming up for you in with the idea of challenges, with the idea of possibly where are there things in your life where your security, your feeling of security has been challenged? You know, for me, this whole move, and I'm pretty sure I've talked about this, was because my house got foreclosed on and was auctioned off last week. And that was all to do with my house got dumped into what's called the MERS pool, the Mortgage Electronic Recording System, which some of you may be familiar with. You know, it's been all over the news for 4 or 5 years now, where the big banks created this fraudulent corporation company, and they were fraudulently selling mortgages, signing them off, and not recording the deeds, where the deeds were and who owned the mortgages. And it's a real ugly mess. And there are still 2 million homes in the United States right now in limbo because of this fraudulent MERS pool organization that J.P. Morgan Chase and all the big banks created. And they've all been fined millions and millions of dollars, which they were supposed to take that money and rectify the problem with the paperwork and set everybody up who had was dropped into this pool. You know, give them a new loan and make it all legitimate, the paperwork correct and everything. But they're not doing that. So anyhow, I'd been in a lawsuit with the bank for over 4 years, almost 5 years. And it just got to the point where I said, you know what? I don't want to live in limbo anymore. I would rather just put my hands up and walk away. And so this last time, because the bank has never had the proper paperwork to legally foreclose on the property. They can't produce the deed. They haven't been able to produce the mortgage because they don't know where they are, basically. So the foreclosure process, in my case, is actually illegal. But that being said, you know, going through this for 5 years, never knowing am I coming, am I going, you know, what's going on, I just, you know, under the advice of my attorney, we just decided that it was time to, the next time the bank said they were going to auction the house off, to just let them. And so I did. And, you know, though, of course, I have emotions, I've lived in the house for 15 years, you know, I've loved the house, I've done so many things to the house where, you know, upgraded it and improved it and made it better. And the whole thing is that house, really, I thought I was there to fix the house, and I was, but it wasn't the structure of the house. It was what had gone in within the walls of the house and on the property itself. And the most interesting thing is that now that the property has been mended and the 15-year-old girl who took her life, that she and her family lived in the house, has been satisfied, now suddenly I was able to leave. And, you know, my attorney was amazed that I was in the house for 5 years, and the bank just didn't come and put a lock on the door. So he said that never happens. And that was because my job was to take care of the property. The property is very energetically sensitive because there was some tragic things that happened there, and to clear the property, clear the house, and let the girl who took her life be at peace. And help, in order to help her, how I ended up helping her do that, and she actually helped me because she was the one that kept putting in my head what to do with the bedroom that she had lived in. And once the bedroom was the way that she wanted it, she was satisfied, and then she was no longer trapped there. And I probably have talked about this before. So anyway, to make a long story short, I'm in my new place. The energy there is phenomenal. On the Bovis scale, it charts at 21,000, where the house that I just moved from was a 1,000. And the Bovis scale goes up to, 500,000. I don't have it in front of me because I'm not in my office. But anyway, it goes up to quite a high number. And every 1,000 number on the scale represents a different level of energy. For example, if you are resonating at 1,000 or you're in a property that resonates at 1,000, that's where you get sick. That's where you get real serious illness like cancers and things like that. And I believe the reasons why I've been able to live in the house for so long and not become sick is because I have had these amazing pets who have come and taken on that job of getting the cancer, getting sick, and giving up their lives to keep me and my children safe from that. And animals can do that. Animals all have a life purpose just like we do. So getting back to where you are on your evolutionary stage of life, and of, transformation. If you are in a place, and if you're listening to me, you know, you're probably not, but there are those out there who may be tuning in, who are at the beginning stages of getting to know who you really are. So if you're in a place where buried, and you allow those in power and of authority to sort of run your life and push you into a corner, they are going to, at this time, very likely push you to your limits. And this is where you will have to go into the depths to learn who you really are and what you really believe. And this is around security, home, you know, job, business, etc. You haven't done the deep inner work and really looked at those things. Now is the time. If you are higher on your evolutionary stage of enlightenment, transformation, life, whatever you'd like to call it, and you have already dealt with a lot of the shadow side of yourself, then this can be a very good time for you. It's a time of letting go of old things. It's a time of embracing who you really are. And that's what this whole thing with this house has meant for me. Oh my gosh, I have given so much stuff away. And when I decided it was time to let go of the house, I also decided it was time to let go of a lot of the old possessions that I had. And one particular was a dining room set, an antique dining room set that I've had for over 25 years. My ex-husband and I bought it from a friend who it was her parents' set, which they had bought brand new when they first got married in, I think it was 1930, if I remember correctly. So this set is almost 100 years old, and it's absolutely beautiful, solid wood mahogany. If you were to buy something like this today, it would probably be around $8,000 or $10,000. Now, it was appraised at 1,000, and I decided when I was going to move that I wanted to move into a place where I could just turn the key and walk out the door and not have to worry about if I just wanted to take off for a few days or a week or even a month. And I never was specific about like what kind of heat or anything like that. All I said to the universe was, I want to just turn the key and walk out the door. So the place I got has electric heat, which unless you don't pay the bill, the electricity doesn't, you know, you always have heat because the electricity is always on. And I've had oil heat for my whole entire life leading up to this, where you have to, you know, either have regular scheduled delivery or you have to call for oil when it's low. And I've been in some cases where we've had snowstorms and the oil was supposed to be delivered and they couldn't make it. And I've run out of oil and had not and haven't had heat. So the universe granted me my wish when I put the intention out there to get a place where I just turn the lock and walk out the door. So that's number one, great, fantastic thing. So the other thing, going back to my intention of this move, was to let go of a lot of the old stuff in my life. Now, this dining room set, we had many, 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 you know, great meals at this dining room table. And one of the funniest things was when my kids were smaller, I think my youngest was about 3 or 4, and my oldest son had some friends over for dinner, and we're sitting at the dining room table, and all of a sudden, Ryan shouts out, "Rice Rocket," puts his nose on the his finger on the side of his nose, and blows a piece of rice out the other side of his nose. Well, we were so just hysterical because it was totally unexpected. One of the kids that came for dinner actually flipped back off his chair and landed on the floor. It was just the funniest thing. So we had a lot of good times around this dining room table, a lot of holiday meals that happened around this dining room set that really etched a memory into all of our minds that has never been able to go away. And that was when things were really bad with my ex-husband, who is a terrible alcoholic. He has drug issues as well. And when I married him, I didn't know any of that. So anyway, to make a long story short, he strangled me one night on that dining room table, or attempted to strangle me. And I did not know for many, many, many years that my oldest had seen the whole thing happen. And he used to say, "I hate this dining room." And I'd say, "Well, honey, why?" And he never had an answer. And then finally, one day, he came out with it and said, "I saw what happened that night." And I thought, oh my goodness. So it's been a struggle for me to let go of this set because, like I said, it's beautiful. And to replace it is going to cost anything close to it, as built as well as it is going to cost thousands and thousands of dollars. And I finally made the decision that it was time to let it go. And I went back and forth about it for a while. And I finally just last week said, you know what? The new place is not going to fit all the furniture. I'm putting it on Craigslist. I'm going to sell it. I sold the living room. I sold the dining room. I gave away the organ that's been in the family for 50 years. I gave away and sold lots of things. And I'm having an indoor house sale Saturday. So there's still a lot more things to be sold. I have a bedroom set that's for sale. So if you live in the area, come check it out. And everything's posted on Craigslist. A lot of things that are left are on Facebook. So anyway, when the fellow came to buy the dining room, and the most interesting thing is no one has questioned my prices of anything that I have put out there. They have all just handed me the money of whatever I asked for it without haggling, which I'm amazed by. So see how strong an intention can be. And it's been really a lesson for me and really amazing that when you make a commitment to yourself or make a commitment in your life, the universe will acknowledge that and will follow through. So it's been fantastic. And the thing with the bedroom set was my dad and stepmom gave me the bedroom set, but unfortunately, it does not fit in the new place. It's a really big dresser and a good size wardrobe, and there's just not room in the new bedroom at the new house. And it hadn't sold because I wasn't sure if they were going to want it back. So I spoke with my dad last night, who is in the hospital, by the way. So anybody out there who would like to put him on your prayer list, that would be totally awesome. So I spoke with my dad last night to be sure that they didn't want it back. And he said, no, we can't take it. We don't want it back. We don't have anywhere to put it. It's too big. Do whatever, you know, you want with it. And I was hoping to give it to my brother because he's in the process of moving too, but he's not, I don't know how serious he really is about finding a bigger place. So I can't wait. So I believe now the bedroom set will sell because I have permission from my father to be able to do that. But because I wasn't sure, because I hadn't spoken with him before last night, then about it, I wasn't sure. So, but now I believe it will sell. And so I'm so excited. And anyway, so make a commitment. What do you really want to see in your life? When you're strong in your commitment, the universe will meet you and follow through and bring those things to you. Oftentimes what happens, though, is we make the commitment and then the universe puts it in front of us and we back away. And I'll give you another great example of that. And then I'm going to go to the phone lines because there have been people patiently waiting. And there's still room on the switchboard if you'd like to call in. The guest call-in number is 818-691-7313. Again, 818-691-7313. So I've also been car shopping for the last, 5 or 6 weeks. And I know the specific vehicle that I'm looking for and the price that I want to pay. And the vehicle that fit the bill came up. Sorry, I lost my headphones. Came up last week. And I'm sorry, a week and a half ago. And I did not felt that that was the right vehicle for me. And yet I waited. My daughter wanted to go look at a car in New York because this other car that I really liked was in Florida. And I had already had one experience with a dealer in Florida that wasn't honest about the condition of the vehicle. So my daughter thought it would be better to try and buy something more local. So we drove to New York, and which was that's a whole nother story. That was a death ride. Luckily, we didn't die. My boyfriend was driving, and he has now been banned from driving on any trip off the island. So anyway, so we went to New York, get there, and again, the vehicle was not what the dealer portrayed the vehicle to be. And we were really clear that we were driving 400 miles to come and purchase this car, and the car wasn't even ready to be purchased. It had so much wrong with it. And they were asking a ridiculous price for the condition of the car. But if the car was in the condition that they had said it was in, then it would have been worth the money. So anyhow, I go back to find the car in Florida that was the car that I really knew was the right car for me. And I couldn't remember what dealer it was with because I had looked at so many. I've looked at so many vehicles in the last 5 weeks that I couldn't remember who had the car. I just remembered it was in Florida. I thought it was Miami. As it turns out, it's West Palm Beach. And so a week ago, I'm searching for cars, searching for this car, and I see what I think is the same car. And sure enough, I get in touch with the dealer. It's the same car, and it had been sold that day. So that's a lesson for me. So now I am once again on a car search. So if you happen to be in the car business, I'm looking for an Acura MDX with less than 80,000 miles on it, or up to 80, that has had been serviced regularly. And Anyway, I'd like a 2004 or 2005. So I'm just putting that out there. And I'm making my commitment to the universe. It could be a 2006 if it's the right price. Anyway, all right, so I'm going to go to the call line because the callers have been waiting so patiently. And this is area code 317 and last four digits 5221. So, caller, tell me a story. Hi, caller, you're on the air.
Hello. Hello, Cynthia.
Hi, who's this, please?
Oh, I don't want to give my name.
Okay.
My name is Scarlett.
Scarlett.
And I am just, everything you said is true. I am going through such, everything you were talking about. Mm-hmm. And it just kind of hit home with me.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But my main problem is I have 27-year-old twins.
Uh-huh.
Both of them are not working. They're living in my home.
Mm-hmm.
I'm $5,000 in debt. I live on $740 a month on disability.
Mm-hmm.
Neither one is working or helping, and I'm supposed to have bypass surgery.
Okay.
I mean, is this just part of the shift of learning and trying to stand up?
Okay, you're
for myself
really...
Because I'm falling apart.
Mm-hmm.
And a little dog's pregnant here, too.
Oh, my goodness. So you've got it all going on.
I live in a one-bedroom apartment.
Oh, my goodness. God bless you. I totally understand. I have been there.
How do you get out of it?
Well, you pray a lot.
I do.
You listen and, you know, praying is putting out there to the universe. What most of us do is we pray and pray and pray, but we never take the time to stop and look for the answers, to accept what prayer is, you know, what the answers the divine is giving back to us.
No, okay. I meditate. I listen.
Great.
I've had my dad died three times.
Mm-hmm.
I played with dead children when I was three.
Mm-hmm.
I used to read people.
Mm-hmm.
I'm pretty intuitive and on beam, but when it comes to me, I can't find out anything about me.
Else. As an intuitive, I can totally understand that for sure, you know, because we want certain things, or we want a certain outcomes, or we expect things to happen in a certain way, and then we block ourselves from getting the messages, you know, around ourselves. And one technique that I have learned to help me is I have given myself a boardroom. And I have allowed people to come onto the board, my guides and masters and things like that who I work with.
Mm-hmm.
And they each have a chair on the boardroom. So I make an appointment that we have a board meeting. And I say, okay, this is the dilemma I'm dealing with. Help. And then I wait for their answers. And you can have a chalkboard in your boardroom. You can have a whiteboard where you write with the erasable marker. You can have the paper flip charts where you write on those papers. And so they can write on the board for you if that's easier for you, or they can just verbally give you the message, okay?
I feel like everybody's not speaking to me.
Okay, when you meditate, tell me what your protocol is, or how you do it.
I just lay down and I call on my angels and my guides.
Mm-hmm.
And I just kind of, I can't really explain it.
Okay.
I just kind of go to a place and ask them to come and meet with me.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And give me direction.
Okay. Do you ask them for specific direction, like around a specific area? Okay.
Yes.
Okay. So I would say that you probably go to your sacred place. You know, it might be a, for most people, it's a garden or, you know, it's the forest or things like that.
Yeah.
And I, though I find for me, you know, I have a sacred place where I go to as well to meditate, and the answers don't always come there. And the boardroom can sometimes, for some reason, bring the answers a little more clearly. And it's kind of like, you know,
for some reason that makes sense to me.
Yeah,
I get that.
Well, for some reason, it's like, you know, you're having an important meeting. And when you have an important meeting, you expect answers, right?
Yes.
Or
yeah.
You expect
it's
people
a, it's
to
just
dialogue.
Your life is a business. My life is a business.
Right. And so when you, if you treat it that way, then you say, okay, you guys are partners in my business. And now this is the business is having difficulty in this area. And I really need guidance and some help. So let's have it. So try that technique. And you can put anybody in your boardroom. You know, I have a colleague who has Jesus in her boardroom and Mary Magdalene, and she's got archangels in there. So, but you know, you can have put whoever you work with in your boardroom. Okay. And be
okay.
Open to new people showing up. So say, for example, we all have a doctor guide. Okay, so now you're facing some health challenges. So you may specifically set up a seat for your doctor, your master doctor, okay? And say, okay, I'm giving you a seat in my boardroom, and I expect that you are going to guide me in the best way to handle my health issues now, okay? And when there's medical things going on, when I'm reading people, oftentimes my pediatrician will show up and I'll be, oh, okay. Yeah, you know, he was a quirky guy. He had these round gold frame glasses, and he always wore a bow tie, and he had a big smile. And so, or anytime I'm dealing with somebody who's crossed, who is of a medical background, my pediatrician shows up and I say, oh, okay, yeah, they were in the medical profession. Or this person I'm sitting for has a medical issue going on. So start to look for the clues of who your medical doctor looks like, who he is. And my guides are saying that your guides don't have names?
Yeah.
Okay, so start giving them names. And you can ask
no,
them.
No, I mean they do. They do. They
okay.
do, but, you know, I just say, whoever is sent for this job, do it. But
right.
sometimes
okay.
I actually call on the actual people.
Okay, okay, good.
So
good.
I need to be more direct and just ask for the specific person.
Or you can say, or someone who is qualified or can bring the answers for the highest good. You always want to put that
yeah.
in. Okay.
And yeah,
then
I
expect
do.
It, right. And then expect it to happen. And also look for the clues in your peripheral vision, my guides are saying. So look for the clues around you. Whether it's
I've been finding pennies. Pennies.
Okay.
Pennies.
All right. So, you know,
and,
those messages, and when you find those pennies, I want you to pay attention to what you're thinking about at that moment when you find those pennies, okay? Cause that's
I was actually finally getting out of my house away from everybody.
Mm-hmm.
And mm-hmm. I looked around, and it was like shiny new pennies all around me. And I don't know
okay.
where the hell they came from.
Okay.
And
well,
I needed to get away. I had to get away.
Okay. So spirit will often bring coins as messages for us. So when you're feeling overwhelmed, you know, remember that and just go for a walk. Even if you go sit in the car just to get away, okay? My guys are saying, do you have a library or a park nearby you?
Yeah, I do. I go to the library.
Okay, because they're saying that's a good
I just
place.
Got my car back. I haven't had a car for 2 months.
Yeah.
Not been running.
Yeah. There's, you know, they're indicating that you do have the ability now to get there, and the library is a good place for you to go and get away. Okay. And then have they been trying to correct the heart problem with medication?
It's not my heart. It's my legs. I can't walk. They put 4 stents in last November.
Okay.
And I'm on Plavix, which is a blood thinner.
Right.
And they said if I don't have the surgery, I'm going to lose both my legs. And my mom passed away in February.
Mm-hmm.
And the surgery, it just keeps getting put off. Now both my sons lost their job.
Mm-hmm.
One of them is supposed to be going into rehab.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But they came in drunk this morning again.
Okay.
And
so
I told them,
They need to go. Yeah, yeah.
I can't do it.
Yeah. No, you have to take care of yourself, because the thing is, these boys are big enough, you know.
They're not boys. They're 27-year-old men.
Right.
They should be.
Right, exactly. And, you know, my guys are saying that you're good about setting the line, you know, setting the boundaries, and then you have to stick to it. So give them a date. And say you have to be out by, you know, next Friday or whatever, or in 2 weeks or a month or whatever you're comfortable with. And I'm just trying to see. Okay. Normally, you know, I often would recommend someone that has people who have addiction in their lives to get outside help, you know, through Al-Anon or things like that. But interesting, my guys are saying that's not indicated for you at this time, which is very interesting.
No, we want him inpatient. He's been a heroin addict for 4 years now, and he is going, they have 2 state-funded programs here, and he made the phone call, and she called him back, and he has not got in touch with her to get on the waiting list.
And I'm wondering,
is he going to do it?
My guys are saying no.
See, that's what I said.
Yeah, my guys are saying no.
And I am, and he is sucking, they are sucking. I have never been this far in debt in my life.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. You know, you know, there, no time in the near future are they prepared to take care of you if you need to be taken care of. Given the
no, when I kick them out, they're going to be mad at me.
Well,
and they're all I have. I mean, that's my family. Everybody else is dead.
I totally understand, because my oldest son hasn't spoken to me in 5.5 years. He was also involved in drugs, and I had kicked him out of the house. I had let him back in at one point a couple of years later, thinking, you know, oh, Mom, I've changed, not doing it anymore, blah, blah, blah. And right. And, you know, it was the same old thing. So anyhow, he lives with his girlfriend now for quite a long time, but he hasn't spoken to me in 5.5 years, and that's very painful. So I understand.
Yeah.
I totally get it. It's so hard. But the thing is, if you don't do it, they're just going to keep doing the same thing they're doing.
And what are, if I do die from this? Because it's pretty serious.
Right.
I have aneurysms and blood clots and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just telling them, you know, I'm helping them not to be men.
Exactly. Right. Exactly. So you have to have that heart-to-heart with them on whatever level that you can, because they're only going to be able to hear so much of it because of the addiction. So you say to them, I love you.
But I can't live with like this. I can't lose my disability, my housing.
Right.
And I can't keep going in debt for you.
Right. And that's what you say. And that's the conversation you have to have with them. And I told them that,
and they keep going out and getting screwed up.
Okay, so the thing is, but if you keep picking up their pieces, they're going to just keep doing it.
Oh, I'm not picking them up anymore. I told them I was done, and I was done.
Right.
I said,
right.
Don't smoke my cigarettes.
Yep.
I'm not buying you more.
Right. Well, if they smoke your cigarettes, it's not such a bad thing because then you won't have them to smoke.
I know. I'm supposed to quit, but damn it, my nerves are so bad.
Well,
and you're
I can
a dog.
Understand.
And you can read animals?
I can, yes.
Would you pick up anything on my little Gucci? He's my little service dog. He's my bestest friend in the whole world.
Uh-huh, yeah. He's really being affected by all of this, though he's taking on a lot of it to try to relieve some of your stress.
He's here beside me. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, has he seemed kind of more, solace and more, sort of mopey lately?
Yep.
Yeah. Yeah, it's because he's taking it on to try to lessen your burden. And pets will do that. And not just the health burden, but the stress with the boys being there, okay?
Oh, yeah.
You're going to have to, this is what I would recommend. You're going to have to set a time limit and just say to the boys, look, you've got, 5 days to get into rehab or whatever. My guys are saying the waiting list seems longer than that. But once the commitment's made, they say he'll be bumped up the list faster. Okay.
See, that's what I'm thinking too, because I've been praying on it so long.
Right. They say once the commitment's made, he'll be bumped up the list faster. But he's got to take that step. So you say to him, look, you've got 24 hours or whatever to make that call.
To make that phone call, or you get the hell out. And the other one, you go out and get an application.
Right.
His car was impounded. He was working and decided just to quit his job.
Yeah.
And he's paying $85 a week on it, which that's how, hence, I got in debt.
He's paying $85 a week on the car?
Yeah.
Stop paying.
Oh, I'm not. I haven't. I haven't been, but I was when he wasn't working.
Okay.
But he just up and quit a job.
Yep. And my guys are saying he's not looked for a job either.
Quit
no.
2 days ago.
Oh, okay. All right.
But since the other one came to stay here, it's kind of like it's party central.
Right, because the two of them are right.
They're twins.
Right.
What can I say?
Right. So you're going to have to get tough. And, if one stays and the other one goes, it seems like that the one that stays is going to kind of get a little bit, might get a little bit nasty. Because his twin is gone, okay? It's like these two have made this pact to get into mischief together, until they both straighten out. But unfortunately, I don't see that happening. I'm looking down the road 1 month, 2 months, 3 months, 4 months, 5 months, 6 months. I don't even see it within the next year, honestly. I mean, and things can change, but my guys are saying that I don't even see these two straightening themselves out in the next year, and the party's going to continue on.
Well, this is the first time that the one that's the real bad addict come to me and said, Mom, I found a needle, which, just broke my heart.
Right.
And he told me that I am ready for rehab. I don't know why. And I said, well, let's make that call. And we called, and they said, wait till Monday.
Mm-hmm.
We waited till Monday. We called, and she was on the line. She called back 2 days ago, and he has not returned a phone call.
Uh-huh. Okay, so again, give him a time limit and say you have...
Well, I'm going to give him 24 hours to call.
Yep, and if he doesn't speak with somebody, then, because today's Thursday, if he calls tomorrow and doesn't get anybody, then probably he wouldn't hear back until the next week. But, he's got to make the call, and the thing is...
Yeah, he has to do it. I mean, that's
right.
Part of the rules. He has to have the TB shot, but it's about 2 hours away, and he will be there a couple of months.
Right, which is what he's going to need.
Yes.
He's really going to need that. And so, again, so give him a time limit. If he exceeds that time limit, I wouldn't extend it more than once. And, you know, if you choose to extend it once, you know, because we're coming into the weekend, but make sure he makes the call. If he makes the call and then he doesn't hear back, say, okay, you've got until Monday to speak with them personally and get on the list, period.
And
then
it feels good to talk to another mother that is going through this.
Oh, I totally have been there. In and out of the court system, I get it. Yeah, I do. I really get it. And, you know, so know that you are supported because there are lots of us out there who have dealt with the same kind of things. Okay, and we have buried
four of his friends in the last 4 years.
Mm-hmm. But, you know, sometimes that isn't enough for them to quit.
Oh, he's smarter than them.
Yeah.
He knows what he's doing.
Yeah, they all
I said,
that.
Yeah, that's what they said.
Yeah,
I
they
said,
all
but
think
you know
that.
What they're saying to me? That if they knew what they knew now,
mm-hmm.
they wouldn't have done it.
Right, right. But, you know, one thing to keep in mind, too, is that he has chosen a life path, and he has chosen to deal with this in his life. And that part is where it's hard for us as mothers because we just have to put up our hands and say, God, I don't know what this kid has come to learn or how he is meant to come to learn it. So just give me the strength to support myself and to support him in whatever way for the highest good.
Okay.
And then wait for the answers, you know. But you've got to set the boundaries. You've got to give the time limits. And the same thing with the other one as well, you know. Say, you know, look,
yeah,
you need to be
I just
out
see,
there.
I mean, he's just starting into the harder drugs. He used to just smoke pot.
Yeah, yeah.
It's always been that way. One of them goes, and the other one follows.
Right, right. So they're both, you know, so you got to be tough with both of them. It's going to be hard for you, but I know you can do it. Just be clear and let them know, say, I really love you. Know that I love you. And because I love you, I have to be tough.
I can't watch you sit and kill yourself. That's what
exactly.
I told him.
Right, exactly. Right.
I told him, if you're going to have needles in your life, then I cannot have you in my life.
Exactly. Yep.
And the next morning is when he came and said, Mom, I will go to rehab.
Right. Okay. So, but you have to be sure he's serious. And if he's not, then you have to go from there. Okay. But
okay.
It looks like it's probably going to be at least a year before they're on more stable ground. So don't give up hope. But I want you to take care of yourself and your own health. Okay. And
do you see how many puppies we're going to have?
Is this the second litter?
No, this is her first litter. It's
okay.
With my service dog,
uh-huh.
my little service dog, and my
uh-huh.
son's dog.
Okay.
Only got her one time, and I was just like, oh, my God.
That's all it takes.
I know, but I had him on a leash the whole time.
Yeah.
And I went to the bathroom to
yeah.
pee. I had to pee
oh,
so
goodness.
Bad.
What
and
are the,
he
what,
got her in that time.
Oh, boy. What are the breeds? What kind of dogs are they?
Mine is a Shih Tzu Chihuahua
uh-huh.
mix.
Yeah.
And he weighs about 6 pounds. He's beautiful,
yeah.
long hair.
Yeah.
And my son's dog is Chihuahua Terrier.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
she looks just like one of Gucci's pups that he had with his Chihuahua
yeah.
wife.
Yeah. yeah,
she's got the sleek coat, tan and white.
Yeah. yeah. All right, Scarlett, we only have 30 seconds left. It looks like she's going to have 3 to 4, and they're
oh,
going to be adorable. But they're going to be adorable. You're going to love them. And look at it this way: don't give them away. Take you know, offer, ask for you know, even if you ask for $50 a piece for them. Or
I got $600 out of his last ones because seizure dogs, you can't
yep.
train them. It's inherited.
Okay. Well, there you go. So you got some money coming for that. But it looks like 3 to 4. We're out of time, honey. I wish you the best of luck. Check out my website, CynthiaFontaine.com. I wish you the best of luck with your health and with your boys. And check in and let me know how you're doing.
Well, God bless. Thank you for listening.
You too,
and
honey.
And giving
Take good
some
care.
Good advice. Thank you.
You're welcome. Take good care. I love you all. Have a great week.